Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I am your host, Rick Hopkins. It's good to be with you again. Well, a lot going on. The president spoke last night, this being Wednesday night that we're recording, and he said something that was near and dear to my heart, and that's when he called out the mainstream media. And there was one comment he made that he said, if you want to see where the division in the country is coming from, look right back there, the mainstream media.
Yep.
And I agree with that wholeheartedly. And folks, I'm here to tell you, I've been talking about this. You may have heard it before if you listened to the radio show. It's absolutely the truth. They are responsible for the division in this country. That's not the only thing they're responsible for. They are responsible for a lot of garbage coming into your home.
Yes.
A lot of garbage. Most of the Hollywood shows now have political agendas.
They
have.
Rick, may I inject something?
Yes.
Last weekend, Hal and I decided to watch a movie. We had started 4 different movies, and they were all trash. City had things in them very early on that were just absolutely disgusting. Decided not to watch a movie.
Well, it's probably the best decision you could have made. It's very hard to find a movie nowadays that doesn't have trash in it.
Either wrong-leaning, wrong morals, something.
Right.
It's dreadfully wrong.
And the F word has become so prevalent throughout society now that you got to be careful. Just about anything you turn on, you better make sure there's no young kids around or they'll be dropping the F-bomb around your house.
Lovely.
But anyway, what I'm trying to say is if you're a conservative and you adhere to conservative principles and you want to see our country get back to being more conservative, adhering to the Constitution, and back to the standards and principles that this country was founded on, you need to rethink about financing these mainstream media channels and the Hollywood elites and all. Because if you're paying a cable bill or you're paying a satellite bill, you are absolutely financing them. Because a portion of that goes to each and every one of those. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But we got to stop now and hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. For fresh, delicious seafood, come to Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro. We've got a big variety to choose from. Do you like shrimp, scallops, salmon? We've got them. We've got all sorts of fish. Right now, come for the soft-shell crabs from our place. Sausage and salmon we smoked with pecan wood, devil crabs, and even peanuts we boil ourselves. You can also pick up seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sauces at Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 till 6. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we were talking about what's referred to nowadays as cord cutting, and that's cutting your cable off or your satellite. And let me give you some stats here. Article I was reading, it was in the Daily Wire. ESPN panics. Cord cutting hits a new record. And why is that good for America? Well, the first quarter of 2017 saw a record number of about 750,000 pay TV customers cut their cable and satellite television cords, kill their costly subscription in favor of much cheaper streaming alternatives. The second quarter of 2017 was even worse. Nearly a million Americans cut the cord, with somewhere around 88 million suckers still funding their own annihilation by the exorbitant pay TV bills that arrive monthly. This accelerated rate of cord cutting is very good news. And they go on to explain that you can't imagine how important the pay TV racket is to the political left, how it drives our politics and our culture, how it rampages against traditional Americans and does so by conning these very same traditional Americans into funding them. That's right, you're funding the left and their agenda. The racket has been perfected in the form of what is called a carriage fee. This is why our cable bill is so expensive. Whether you watch these outlets or not, every month they receive a sweet piece of that cable bill. So all these left-leaning shows and total liberal social agenda shows and all that are on there, you're funding that. Whether you watch it or not, even if you don't watch it, a portion of your cable bill goes to each and every channel that's on there.
Rick, I want to comment on something that you said there. You pointed out ESPN is in a panic. Well, ESPN did something this week which totally illustrates how over the top they have gone. There is a football game this weekend between the University of Virginia and the College of William and Mary. And the announcer that was scheduled to announce that is an Asian man by the name of Robert Lee. And because of his name, he has been told that he is not going to announce that game because they were just afraid with everything that's gone on that it would just be too controversial. The man is Asian. His name is not Robert E. Lee. His name is Robert Lee. Robert's a fairly common name. Lee's a fairly common name. Good grief.
Insanity. Yeah. Total insanity.
I think to add to that, you had mentioned that USC, their mascot is a horse named...
Their mascot is a Trojan.
The Trojan.
But at the beginning of every football game, the guy comes out on a white horse and rides around the football field. Right. And the name of the white horse is Traveler with one L. Robert E. Lee's horse was named Traveler with two L's.
Right.
But that's close enough. And they're trying to figure a way to get rid of this horse and do away with the horse. I don't know what you do with a Trojan without a horse, but evidently they're going to come up with something.
Well, I have a solution.
Saturday?
If you are offended by Confederate monuments, people named Robert Lee, or anything else in this country, please leave.
I think I want to go back. I want to go back to an old Peanuts cartoon, because the old Peanuts cartoon, and I'm going to paraphrase it, I think, in a moment, is it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. And now it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're offended. And it looks like no matter what we do, we're going to offend somebody. And we have to find out that one person that will never be offended or that will decide all the elements that will protect us from being offended.
Well, one of the main reasons we've gotten to that point is because these mainstream media is giving them a platform and drawing attention to them. They are a very small minority in this country, mm-hmm. but they get the most airtime and the most...
Well, guess what?
Paid for by us.
I don't set out to offend anybody, but by George, I am not going to walk on eggshells to avoid it.
Right. Well, let me get back to wrap up this article real quick. He says, you see, it is not advertising keeping CNN alive. With fewer than a million viewers, there is just no way CNN could survive on advertising revenue alone. No, the bulk of CNN revenue comes from you, from your cable bill, out of mm-hmm. your pocket. Same with ESPN, MTV, MSNBC, and a host of other networks. And thanks to this ill-gotten revenue, billions of monthly dollars, billions that have nothing to do with merit or popularity, these outlets are infinitely stronger than they have any right to be. Every person who cuts the cord is striking a major blow to the left, is doing their part to kick out the single leg that keeps his stool afloat.
There's one more thing about that. Our daughter-in-law that lives up in Alaska is involved with companies that lay cable. And she told me you would be shocked if you knew how much subsidies the federal government gives up these cable companies when they put in cable.
Right.
And so that's another aspect of it. It's coming back on the taxpayers eventually.
Well, that's the point I wanted to get across. But I hear a lot of people saying, how did we get here? How do they get away with it? You funded it. You're still funding it if you're paying a monthly bill to the cable company.
Well, thanks to you, we're not anymore.
Right. I'm glad to hear that. I've been off of it for years. I haven't missed it a bit.
If you go back 10 years and you watch a 10-year-old situation comedy, and then you try to watch one today, you can see the cultural boundaries that have changed over the years. And that is by design. That is not an accident. Television had, when it was invented, and some of us are old enough to remember when there wasn't a television in the house.
Bingo.
Yeah, me too. And had tremendous potential as a learning tool. It mm-hmm. still does. Mm-hmm. But it also has tremendous potential as a propaganda tool. And propaganda is not always obvious. Sometimes it's very subtle.
Right.
And that's what's gone. We've had a 30-year, at least, cultural revolution put on by television.
One of our book studies that Nan Murdoch did was based on a book called The Marketing of Evil. Mm. And that whole book was about that. It was about a step-by-step campaign. And it, as you say, it was not accidental. It was done with malice aforethought.
I mean, if you go back to the Lucille Ball show.
Yeah, I love Lucy.
At that time, a married couple had to be shown as having twin beds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a little extreme. A little overdone. But by the same token, contrast that to some of the things that go on television now.
On the kids' shows.
Yeah.
Well, folks, if you're interested, just go out there and search for cord cutters. You'll find a wealth of information of alternative methods to get all the things you need or want into your home and be very well informed without all the left-wing agenda and propaganda that you're currently funding. And notice I said search for cord cutters. I didn't say Google. That's another thing. You need to quit using Google. Google has decided they're going to censor everything that's conservative that they consider to be offensive or hate speech. Now, that's their determination, what they consider to be hate speech.
DuckDuckGo.
Yeah, DuckDuckGo is a search engine that's anonymous, and you can get away from that Google stuff. So remember, they've decided to turn against you if they were ever for you. But if you're a conservative and you're putting something out there that they consider to be hate speech, they're going to censor it.
I just have one question.
Yes.
And this is a serious question. How do you get to be a grown-up without somewhere along the line being offended and learning how to deal with it?
That's why so many of the grown-ups today are not grown-up.
Well, a lot of this now that's going on around on the college campus, they're not really offended. They're doing what they're being led to do.
Or paid to do.
Or paid to do.
Programmed to do.
You know?
Mm.
Yeah. It's amazing. All these statues have been here for how many years, and they weren't...
They were never
there was no uproar over them being offensive. Sure, I'm sure in some people's mind, you know, it was a thing of the past that they didn't appreciate or agree with, but they dealt with it.
And you're right. They were here during Obama's administration.
Right.
They were here during Clinton's administration. They've been, Bush's, they've been here for a long
but all
time
of a
and
sudden,
not a peep out of anybody.
All of a sudden, you've got all these people offended. Are they really offended, or is this a convenient excuse for their left-wing agenda?
The latter, not
right.
the former.
Right.
I think if I can relate this also, now having served in the military during the Vietnam era, now I was not in country, but serving in that era,
mm-hmm.
and how all of the military people were very much despised during that era. After that era, when the Vietnam Memorial Wall was proposed, a lot of people were against it
mm-hmm.
because it was going to be the reminder. Yet it's the reminder of people that sacrificed for the causes. Now, whether they knew the political background of that cause or not, these are people that served honorably.
Yes.
They swore to protect and
they
defend
their country's call.
Their country in all mannerisms. Likewise, during the Civil War, I know that people served honorably. Whether they knew all of the political ins and outs of it, they were there to serve honorably.
Yep.
Right.
You know, you said you didn't serve in theater. Well, I didn't either, but I experienced some of that. I got spit on one time because I had on uniform. I got attacked one time because I had on a uniform. And I had to step over people to get into the Pentagon that were about 40 feet deep. I mean, 40, you know, we had to step between people for about 40 feet to get into the Pentagon that day, and they had thrown something that looked like blood against the walls, and we didn't know how violent they might get, but they didn't. They just laid there and let us walk among them to get
right.
to work.
Well, let me introduce you guys. We got Bob and Mary Griswold with us. We got Hal and Rainer James, and I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. Now, we're going to take a break, and because we are Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, when we come back, we're going to get into how they are sucking the dollars out of your pockets.
A professional auto service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
What do marine navigation systems, automatic firearms, diesel engines, and home long sprinklers have in common? Force 5, that's what. Force 5 was created to stop weapons from jamming in sandy Afghanistan, but it can do a lot more. Force 5 solves marine and firearms problems caused by rust, salt water, and corrosion. To clean, lubricate, protect, get Force 5. Anything else is a waste of time. Call Ernie at 252-670-0728 or go to force5-marine.com.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Hal James, you're the chairman of our watchdog group, and you go to the county commissioners' meetings. You monitor how the budgeting process, how they're spending money, some of the things they vote on and pass. And you've got an interesting one on the school board.
Right. What they were requesting was money to lease iPads for the use of all the traditional school students in the county and also the teachers in the county. So they wanted the board to authorize a three-year lease to get those iPads in the hands of the students and the teachers. Megan Doyle, Dr. Megan Doyle, she's the superintendent of school. She made the appeal personally. And, you know, she is a gracious lady. You know, she's a very likable person. And she made sure that the presentation of all the materials that she gave to the commissioners, I got a copy of it, which I appreciate that very much because, you know, the open meeting laws we've had some problems with. And she explained that the secondary school system, 6 through 12, did not receive Title I funds. Well, she assumed everybody knows what Title I funds are, but I wanted to be sure I had it right. And what it is, it's for Elementary and Secondary Education Act, as it's called, and it provides financial assistance to local educational agencies, LEAs they call them, in schools with high numbers or high percentages of children from low-income families to help ensure that all children meet challenging state academic standards. That's what it was for. Okay, so these kids are not getting that Title I funds. So she pointed out that the lease that she wanted the county to approve would provide these iPads for every student for 3 years. She said it would take...
Excuse me a minute.
What, honey?
For what grade?
K-12? Yeah,
kindergarten
12 through the 12th grade. So all the students and all the teachers. She pointed out that it would save money by textbooks. Wouldn't have to buy as many textbooks. And it would also have a residual value at the end of the three-year lease period that would pay, make the down payment for the next three-year lease period. She said she thought it would do that. It was interesting because neither she nor any members of the Board of Commissioners mentioned the amount of the lease, and that was the first thing you asked, Rick.
All right.
They didn't mention it through the whole presentation. It never was mentioned to the public. They never heard it on television. You know, that's what is recorded for television. Now, I had printed the full 172-page agenda, and it was included in the agenda. So I was one of the, probably the only person in the room except the members of the Board of Commissioners and the school board people that were there that knew how much the lease agreement was for. It was $2,960,368.13. And it was payable in three payments of $986,789. So it's almost $1 million in round numbers like I like to use annually for some time. Because here's what they did. They moved money from the annual expenses, you know, just their regular expenses of the school board. They moved it into capital. And so that means that they are basically using money that would be available for a capital expenditure. And instead, they're using it to spend every year on an annual
bailout. So they took stuff for that was intended for bricks and mortar that would stay there for a long time and be useful and put it in an annual expense category.
Yes.
That's brilliant.
Well, I hate to be a pessimist, but very often those initial cost estimates or contracts are just minimal of what it's going to take. Have they looked into the infrastructure issues? When you, how many students are there in Craven County? When you start throwing all those iPads on the network into school, is the infrastructure there to handle that?
They did address that somewhat, and they seem to be confident that they had the people who would handle that.
I mean, for a price, I'm
sure. That subject did come up. It was kind of, it was interesting how much in-depth the thing was discussed, except for the actual cost.
Well, that's because my opinion is they don't know the actual cost yet. I think we'll get hit with a higher number later on.
You don't believe that 13 cents is correct.
Right. Well,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I've got another concern, and that is when Kim Fink's group was going to the Academic Standards Review Commission meetings. One of the things they had, testimony, was from a young child development specialist,
right,
which obviously hasn't been taken into account all the time, but it should have been. But anyway, she made the point strongly that very young children don't gain motor skills nearly as well if they work with electronic devices too early. And that's why I was asking, Hal, what grades?
Right.
If they're starting in kindergarten, first, second grade, are we sure they need iPads?
Right.
Well, you know, Dr. Doyle certainly wouldn't agree with you on that because she was saying that you can hand kids 3 years old or so an instrument and they can almost use the thing from
instinctively. Yes, I don't doubt that. But does it arrest certain motor skills that are part of a smooth development of a young child? And I'm not an expert, but I stayed in Motel 6 or whatever it was. I listened to one, and she convinced me that it's not a good idea.
There's also, I'll admit to being old-fashioned. There's something about handling a book, and there's something about a child, particularly a very young child, when they get their first workbooks that they're allowed to write in that are theirs, and they have this concrete thing that has pages that they've written on. And I think there's value in that. But I have a question. I understand that technology becomes old very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me we're leasing these. What would happen if we bought them? Would they have any value after 3 years at all? Bob, you're the computer guy. You and Rick.
No comment.
Well, you're right. The technology is rolling over at a quicker pace every year because every new generation of technology allows the next generation to be developed quicker. So it's hard to answer that question.
I'd rather go back to George Orwell's 1984 and just say, let's look at what happens when we have the ability to change the text in recall the text and change it.
Yeah.
If we looked back at when they first came out with the Kindle, I think it was the Kindle books, they were downloading Kindle books, and there were some students that were doing master's theses on the Kindles, and they're adding their reference material or whatever else. Come to find out that, I can't remember the actual book, they didn't have copyright privileges to distribute that book, so they recalled the Kindle book, which destroyed all of the students' research material.
Holy cow. Now,
from George Orwell's Newspeak, the ability to change the text of any book is now instantaneous.
Right. Mm. And let me go back to what Mary was talking about, the actual books and all that. There's very much value to that. And I don't want to get labeled conspiracy theorist or anything like that, but these are modern day, real life things you need to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should now be familiar with an EMP, electromagnetic pulse.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're hearing in the news every day about North Korea's ability and their nuclear capabilities. There are many countries out there that have the capability to launch a missile from a submarine now off our shores. If an EMP was launched and exploded in the atmosphere over the United States, it would instantly wipe out all those electronic devices. Mm-hmm. What do you refer back to if you don't have the books?
Yep.
How do you, you know, and
the
if you don't
have... The repair manual is on my Kindle, which the EMP just wiped out.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, those things need to be considered. Certainly. I mean, you can go to libraries and pull out books that are hundreds, even thousands of years old now to refer back to archives of information throughout history.
And I'd hate to see that, the only copy, something that could be changed.
Right. If you've got all of your vitals stored on an electronic device and that device is destroyed, where do you go?
Mm-hmm.
I love technology. I'm an IT specialist, but I also realize the dangers of relying on it 100%.
The other danger, too, is changing platforms.
Yes.
I mean, just as an example, I have a piano that you can program songs into using a floppy disk. When was the last time you saw a floppy disk?
Right. Well, let's look at something else. Your checkbook, your journals, everything you wrote notes down in. Anybody ever hack it?
Oh, that would be awful.
Younger brother.
I think one of the other real world examples that we can bring up, and a lot of people are into genealogy now.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody that's going back to look up genealogy and some of their ancestry, if you're going to old records, the old paper records that were written in an ink or written in some kind of pencil or something like that, it's very easy to see that. If you ask somebody that's been in genealogy for more than 10 years, and they started doing their genealogy backup either to a cassette tape or to an 8-inch floppy disk, or then down to the 5-inch floppy, or then down to the 3.5-inch floppy, or to a card now, a CD, that all of these things have a very, very limited life. First off, the software has a very limited life. And then the storage media has also a very limited life. You want to go back? You can look at your 1800 and 1700 and 1600 records, but you can't look at a 1990 record.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's some of the points I wanted to try to make. And Hal, we'll get back to you here. There's oftentimes you're calling out our elected officials, and you did that recently, and you got a response back on our feedback on our website. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, you know that Rainer and I have both been pretty critical of the federally qualified health centers at FQHCs, and we have two of them here in Craven County now. And we've criticized that we feel like that they compete with the private practices, and it costs the taxpayers a lot of money. Well, Mr. Scott Harrelson, MPA, he's got after his name, Craven County Health Director, responded on, as you say, on our website. And it's fairly short, and in fairness to him, could I read the whole thing?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. He wrote, "Mr. James, the Craven County Health Department has been providing primary care services for years. We applied for the Federal Qualified Health Center funding because we saw that we were not going to be able to meet the local demand without additional resources. The fastest growing segment of our primary care patient population is uninsured and uninsured adults, which I assure you no other medical providers in the area are equipped to deal with. That is why the patient population was clogging the local emergency rooms and running up high unpaid visits to our local hospital. Now we have been able to take roughly 5,000 of the neediest people in our area and get them stabilized and out of the emergency room. An average ER visit costs about $1,200. Our average clinic visit ranges from $15 to $50. Most of our patients do work in cafeterias, auto parts stores, etc. They just don't have the good health coverage. We've been able to treat people with hypertension, diabetes, and cancer through the Federally Qualified Health Center. We've been able to assist them with outside programs to get their chronic disease medication for high cholesterol, hypertension, etc. We've expanded services while reducing county appropriations by about a third over the past 8 years. The private sector is not equipped to deal with a lot of uninsured and underinsured patients. I don't know why anyone would think they would be. They aren't designed to do so. These programs are supported by President Reagan and President Bush because they're a good way to ensure access to care for people that would otherwise fall through the cracks." Scott Harrelson, Craven County Health Director. I've got a long memory. I went back to 2013 and looked at some of the records that I kept and observed how he sold the program to the Board of Commissioners when he first presented it. It's an entirely different picture than what he just read to us there. What he had to say then was, he used his PowerPoint presentation. I kept the whole copy of the PowerPoint presentation, and here are the main points that were appeared in that presentation. Public health costs in the county have risen to 22% of the budget in 2012. It's costing the county a lot of money to provide those health costs. Clinic, there's number two, that was my remark, that last one. The clinic revenues could replace county dollars for health costs. The defined service area could keep undesirable federal qualified health centers out of the area. It would provide cost settlement for Medicaid services, would ensure Medicaid cost settlement if our state system deteriorates. And it would cost a base funding to start of $650,000. Okay, I'd like to address quickly each one of those. The public health, the county had been paying a lot of money, as it was budgeted in 2012, I can tell you how much. And that they were looking for ways to replace those county dollars with other dollars. In other words, with federally paid, like Medicaid and Medicare, things like that, other ways they could get it. The defined service area would keep undesirable federal qualified health. So that, to me, is an admission that they wanted to get that certificate to keep other people out from being able to get it. And it would provide cost settlement for the Medicaid services. Now, what he's talking about cost settlement there is without the county having to pay anything, those people would get those services. Now, he went on to say that the county budget projected for those county clinics, in other words, they were going to would be $3,250,000 from the clinic itself, from the way it operates.
So where does the money come from?
And $2,250,000 from county dollars. That's a total of $5.5 million. They're trying to shift the obligation from the county budget to the federal budget.
Right.
What it really boils down to, and that's not the first time they did it. When they took the food stamps off of the county budget and made that a federal thing too, they dropped $12 million of expenses on the county that time. So that's one, they keep on finding more ways for state and federal government to pay for what county people had to pay for, but they keep expanding what the county spends anyway.
Right. So you're saying that they stopped reaching into our left-hand pocket and started reaching into our right-hand pocket instead.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And it all comes out of our pockets.
What comes out of the left-hand pocket on top of that.
Right.
And, you know, I found in the commentary under the Carolina Journal, I found a statement that it really explains a lot to me. It says, when it comes to the politics the most important term is government. And that what the left think, the government is simply the name we give to the things we choose to do together. I think that explains a lot. But there are a lot of good-hearted people who think they're doing the right thing by letting government handle charity.
And they really don't realize that it's coming out of their pocket either way.
Yeah. Not only that, the government has a history of not handling things well. Milton Friedman, was that his name, made the comment, if you put the government in charge of the Sahara Desert in 10 years, there would be a shortage of sand.
Right, right. Well, we've got to take a break. Hal, I want to congratulate you and your committee on the fine work you do with your watchdog group there. And as soon as we hear from our sponsors, we're going to come back and wrap this show up.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. For fresh, delicious seafood, come to Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro. We've got a big variety to choose from. Do you like shrimp, scallops, salmon? We've got them. We've got all sorts of fish. Right now, come for the soft-shell crabs from our place. Sausage and salmon we smoked with pecan wood, devil crabs, and even peanuts we boil ourselves. You can also pick up seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sauces at Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 till 6.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
What do marine navigation systems, automatic firearms, diesel engines, and home long sprinklers have in common? Force 5, that's what. Force 5 was created to stop weapons from jamming in sandy Afghanistan, but it can do a lot more. Force 5 solves marine and firearms problems caused by rust, salt water, and corrosion. To clean, lubricate, protect, get Force 5. Anything else is a waste of time. Call Ernie at 252-670-0728 or go to force5-marine.com.
Well, welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. And Rainer, real quick, in like a minute or so, was there any updates on what's going on with the North Carolina legislature?
There was a hearing yesterday on the redistricting. It was held in a number of locations around the state, starting in, there was one in Raleigh, and it was conducted from Raleigh via something similar to Skype or GoToMeeting or whatever. Hal and I went to the one in Washington, And it, there were lots and lots of people from the NAACP and from the Democrat Party there. There were pretty close to an equal number of Republicans there. But in most of the locations, since you were, it would be one or two speakers in each location and keep going round robin, I heard the word gerrymandering 10 gazillion times, and they objected in very strident terms. There were some objections from Republicans, too. They tended to be more thoughtful and less repetitive. I don't know what's going to come of it, but they're looking to establish the districts probably next week. The this week is for the hearing. And
I understand there's some concerns over that what's being done right now could stand to threaten some of our conservative
representatives.
Absolutely.
One example is, the most egregious one I've seen, is Larry Pittman in Cabarrus County. There are three districts proposed for that one little county. One of the districts goes up into the county north of that. Larry and Representative Ford are put in the same district. They are both very conservatives, and we just have a handful of them. There is a much more liberal Republican after name, but more liberal in one that is not double bunked. She's there by herself. I think it's outrageous.
Right.
It doesn't have to be that way. And I, in fact, Hal and I both spoke against that at the hearing.
Right.
It's exasperating.
Well, also, Bill Cook, you know, the senator from the Eastern Shore area, he's in some problems because of this redistricting as well. So it seems to me it's designed to reduce the power of the conservatives in the state legislature.
I'm convinced of it.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that. I thank you for your work in that area and keeping us informed on that. Real quick, I want to touch on this because it's getting real hot, and I think it's something that a lot of people may not be aware of because you're not going to see it on mainstream media, but things are getting ready to fire up in Washington big time. I've talked before about a thing called crowdsourcing.
Mm-hmm.
And what crowdsourcing is, you take the WikiLeaks document, and of course, a lot of people tell you, you know, it was illegal. What happened? Well, it may have been illegal, but all of the emails and documents that were released into WikiLeaks, the information within them is still relevant. Even though it may have been obtained illegally.
It hasn't been proven to be false.
Right. Well, it can't be because it's their actual emails. And anyway, crowdsourcing, what they've done is thousands of people across around the world, actually, are going through those documents and pulling out evidence and information and compiling it and connecting the dots and all that. If you do Twitter, you can search for one called Truth Leaks, all one word, Truth Leaks. If you don't do Twitter, you can search for it anyway, and you'll probably find some information. But George Webb has that Twitter account, and he's an investigator, and him and a lot of what used to be mainstream journalists that got fed up with the lies and the deceit, and they're out on their own doing investigative reporting and all, have been following these things and tying it all together, and things are coming out like, would McCain and Petraeus sell secrets from an Army-Navy research lab with a spy ring in D.C.? Well, they've got the documents that they publish up there. The names are there. The connections are there. They talk about the Awan brothers that were providing the IT support for the DNC. Over 50 congressional Democrats.
Used to congressional, use them.
Right. Their IT support, they hired these people to do their IT support. They provided the Blackberries, over 50 Blackberries ordered for them at one time. They had the passwords. They set them up. All of the information, emails, and information secret material that was shared through those emails and everything on those congressional laptops and Blackberries and all were all that information was being fed to secret servers, which was going to Pakistan and other foreign countries. It's getting ready. It's all coming out. The FBI is now investigating it. A number of
are they the same ones that work for Debbie Wasserman?
Yes, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Yes, tied directly to her. She was the last one to fire one, and that was only after he was caught at the airport leaving the country. Real quick,
the Daily Caller and the Gateway Pundit have both been right on top of this in terms of websites.
Well, it's breaking, it's hot, it's going to happen, and you need to go out there and find out a little bit more about crowdsourcing, and you'd be surprised at the documents that are available out there. Okay, well, this past Monday I attended a meeting of the, they've changed their name. They used to be the Christian Coalition, but they're now God and Country Christian Alliance. They meet the third Monday of every month here in New Bern at Moore's Barbecue, and they had a guest speaker. Her name was Deborah Dewart, and she wrote a book called Death of a Christian Nation. Very good book. You need to check that out. But Jerry Scheel is chairman of that organization, and I sat down to talk to Jerry about the organization and what's going on and the upcoming God and Country Banquet. So let's listen to Jerry. Well, I've got with me here in the studio tonight Mr. Jerry Scheel, and Jerry is, what is your title, Jerry?
Chairman.
Chairman of what?
The God and Country Christian Alliance, formerly the Craven-Pamlico Christian Coalition.
All right, and I'm attending one of your meetings, and you had a speaker, Miss Deborah Dewart, author of the book Death of a Christian Nation, and she touched on three battlefield areas that she is currently fighting. Battlefield number one was sexuality, the LGBT agenda. Battlefield number two was sanctity of life, abortion, pregnancy centers, and the denial of reality of creation. And battlefield number three is secularism, separation of church and state, which we all know is a fallacy. There's nothing in the Constitution that defines separation of church and state. But what I really wanted to talk to you about for just a moment was you have an annual event every year, and this is your 24th annual God and Country Banquet. Can you tell us a little bit about the God and Country Banquet?
Yes, I'm glad to. It's this will be, like you said, the 24th annual, and it's really the go-to event for Christian conservatives in Eastern North Carolina. And this year, North Carolina Supreme Court Justice Paul Newby will be our keynote speaker. He's an excellent speaker. For the last 3 years, he's been acting as our master of ceremonies, but this year he's got the spotlight with as the keynote speaker, and we're really looking forward to that. It's on Monday, September the 18th in Havelock at the Convention Center, and the tickets are $20, or if you want to get a table of eight, it's $150, and we'd be glad to have folks there.
And dinner begins at 6:30?
That's correct. Danny Strange, this is a 24th annual banquet that he has catered, so we're looking forward to it. He always does a very good job, really a very positive event coming at some very troubling times. You know, it's nice to go to something where you get a positive biblical message from some very influential folks, and everybody has a good time at that event.
Yeah, I've been to them before, and they are very, very good events. Well, Jerry, I appreciate you letting us know about that. I want to talk a little bit more about your organization. A lot of the churches nowadays, they don't want politics discussed in church at all. But I notice that at your meetings, you're not afraid to bring up political things that are going on locally, statewide. I know you've been involved at the state legislature quite a bit. How do you reconcile politics and religion?
Very easy. I don't think it's a conflict. I think we're charged to do that. I think it's biblical. I think that we have a responsibility as Christians. Or forget that. Even if you're whatever denomination or whatever faith you walk, I think it's important for everybody to be involved if you claim to be a good American. But in our case, we're not bashful at all about being a Christian organization. And, you know, we were formerly the Craven-Pamlico Christian Coalition. Now we're the God and Country Christian Alliance. A reason for that, we proudly wear that banner. And we believe that it's important for Christians, rather than just complaining to the courts or after an election, it's important to be involved with the issues and take a stand. And if it makes you feel uncomfortable doing it in a church, then come to our meetings. I mean, we have all faith walks here, and it's a good organization. You can learn a lot, and you can make a difference.
Well, I agree with you 100%, and I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. I hope you keep on doing it, and I hope you have a lot of success with it. Tell us when you have and where you have your meetings.
We've been meeting, we were meeting at the Golden Corral until they closed, of course, and 1994, when we first started, we were out at the Burn Restaurant, and when they stopped meeting, we went elsewhere. So when the Golden Corral closed, we started meeting at Moore's Barbecue on MLK Boulevard, and every third Monday, except for 2 months. September, we don't meet because of the banquet. In December, we don't meet because everybody's so busy doing other things. But every third Monday, beginning at 6 o'clock, if you'd like to eat, but our meetings begin promptly at 7 o'clock p.m., and we like to have folks out by 8:30.
Very well. Well, Jerry, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Rick.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
There's something for everyone at Stingray Cafe in New Bern. For the seafood lover, there are oysters, shrimp, scallops, clams, crabs, snow crab legs, and a wide variety of fish. Not in the mood for seafood? How about a salad, a burger, beef brisket, or some good old hickory smoked barbecue? There's even a menu section for folks 10 and younger. Open 7 days a week, the Stingray Cafe on South Front Street in New Bern, just across the street from the History Center.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Mark your calendar for the 24th Annual God and Country Banquet to be held Monday, September 18th at the Havelock Tourist and Event Center in Havelock. Dinner begins at 6:30 p.m. Tickets are $20 each, a table of eight for $150. The keynote speaker, North Carolina Supreme Court Justice Paul Newby. For tickets, call Kathy New at 252-636-1269. That's 636-1269 for tickets to the 24th Annual God and Country Banquet, sponsored by God and Country Christian Alliance.
The CCTA appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Stingray Cafe, South Front Street, New Bern, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, and Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55, Grantsboro. Also, the County Compass serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue, Force 5 Marine Saltwater Corrosion Inhibitor. Join us again next week at this time for your wake-up call from the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, online at cctaxpayers.com.